Radio that's better than the rest. This is 101.9 High FM.
Good evening. This is Stan Claff from the Hebrew Order of David International, coming to you from High FM 67 in the HOD hour. And today we have in the studio, I have in the studio with me Thabo Mlengeni. He's the studio controller and he's going to help us through the show. And on the line, I have two guests. One is Michael Brand from Portland, Oregon. He's the executive director, amongst other things, at the Oregon City Chamber of Commerce. And he says, he describes himself as dedicated to expanding entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial activity within the nonprofit sector. And on the line as well from Houston, Texas, I have Lawrence Barris, founder of Lodge Galil, Hebrew Order of David Lodge in the United States of America. We're going to be talking about a topic which is very close to what we are talking about all the time, and that is why our social, or not social, I beg your pardon, organized service organizations failing. And Michael Brand wrote an article to say there's a way to fix them. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
And welcome, Lawrence.
Thank you. Look forward to the discussion.
I must tell you one thing. Lawrence is the most enthusiastic member of the Hebrew Order of David. He's a ball of fire, and it's due to him that the lodge started in Houston, and has a lot to say. And he just turned 60, so he's a young man with a great future in the Hebrew Order of David. Michael, you said that although there's failing organizations, we have to be optimistic, but we have to be ready to embrace the changes that are going to take place in the future. Can you fill us in?
Yes. I mean, society is changing, and I mean, the world is changing, and what we have to do is a lot of our service organizations, such as Kiwanis and Rotary, and even a lot of smaller nonprofits, have to understand that what's worked in the past may not be working in the future. Now for these service organizations, we've seen in America a three-decade decline, where you have groups like Rotary is down, JC's, Masons, all these traditional ones, and it's not a question of how do we adapt to the next generation, but it's a question of how do we allow the next generation to come in and adapt us for what their needs are. That is the big challenge that I have with a lot of organizations I consult with and work with.
Right. So, Lawrence, does that ring a bell with you? Does it touch base?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I'm a Rotarian as well. And clearly, membership is the number one issue. I feel that my personal take on it is that the youngsters of today are philanthropic, but they consider themselves philanthropic by means of a checkbook and not so much by means of action. I'm not sure how Michael feels about that.
I would agree. They definitely, all the research tells us they value their time more than their money. So they are willing to make a financial contribution, but what really makes these organizations go is the human element, is the human involvement, and that's the big challenge for a lot of organizations, is how do we get them to get people, actually hands-on people involved. And there's a number of trends that are really interesting. Some great trends, such as men spending a lot more time with their kids, individually, one-to-one. 40 years ago, they spent on average about 5 hours a week. Now they spend close to 10. Of course, and also men are doing more work in the house, and they're also working more hours as well. Now, these trends are also happening with women, but they're really pronounced with men. And so if we're going to connect with men with families, professional men with families, we have to recognize that they don't have a lot of time. So how are we going to use their time when we engage them? Because we want more from them than just putting down their credit card or writing a check or throwing $20 into the hat.
I mean, these young people today are better educated and have a better outlook. They're come from a, you know, they're more fitness orientated. So they should really be able to put in the effort and the time. I mean, we're talking about a much advanced generation of youngsters than our age group, so to speak.
Well, I think it's true that they're better educated. They are more willing to get involved. They want a sense of meaning to their lives. They want to have impact. But what they're looking for is to do that in a different direction. Let me give you an example. Right here in the Portland area, there's an organization called Leve, which was a group of young professional women in their 20s who were looking for volunteer opportunities but felt like every place that they went to, they were treated as kind of like a junior partner. And they weren't willing to engage in an organization and wait 5 years until they had influence. So they created their own, which is called Leve, and it comes from the French word to lift. But essentially what they do is they go out and raise money. They do it in a very social setting, so it's an informal group. They get together. They love their time together. It's a social interaction and also generating, you know, doing it for a cause. I think that's one of the challenges that we see in a lot of service organizations is that our leadership is very status quo, and we have these young people who come to check us out, and they may even join us, but they don't stay because they don't have an opportunity to have immediate impact. And that's what they want, because they want meaning in everything that they do.
Are we not stepping aside quickly enough? Are we hanging on for dear life?
I don't think we're hanging on for dear life. I think it's going to be a question of at what point, for a lot of these organizations, at what point do they get to a period of decline that they're willing to open up and consider, we need to change. Maybe it's going to be a near death. You know, when you talk about like international organizations like the Kiwanis or Rotary, you have clubs all across the world. Some of those clubs will adapt and reinvent themselves and survive and thrive. Some will go away. But the question will be for those organizations that how far down do they have to go before they finally say, okay, we need to change.
I mean, the Hebrew Order of David as an international organization is very well placed to be able to accommodate almost anything that is put before us in the way of projects. We have the resources. We have, definitely have the footprint around the world. And so there would be no reason why young people couldn't come in here and make of it what they can, what they will. You know, it's not, there's no barriers to entry. There's no hurdles in getting things organized and doing really what you want to do. If you have an idea, you can bring it to the fore. And I mean, there'll always be assistance. But are you saying that that's not sufficient, or are we not giving that message out there?
Not knowing a lot of the details about your organization, I would say that what you want to do is create more opportunities like that, so that when people come, they are given the opportunity to pursue their interests. Now, for example, there's a Rotary Club in Boston, Massachusetts, that when a member joins, they are credited with $200 that they can use for any cause they want. Now, they can't use it to pay themselves or anything, but they can use it for either a donation or to organize an event or a project. And what they're encouraged to do is connect with other members who may have an interest in the same area. But the idea about crediting them with an account upon first joining is saying that, hey, it gives them a chance to do immediate work, to feel like they belong, that they are actually a member and have a chance to have impact. And then also because they encourage them to work with other members to kind of pool their resources, it gives them a chance to connect with other people and grow, because they want that sense of community. They want to feel like they are part of the tribe. And this is a quick way to get people in.
Yes, Lawrence, how do you see the picture?
That's a very interesting concept that they're doing over there. Our modus operandi on certainly the HOD side is to get new members involved as quickly as possible with our activities. I don't see an absolute parallel with HOD and Rotary.
No.
I believe that there's a Jewish aspect of HOD that makes it special and might pull at the emotions a little differently than a Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, etc.
Right. So, Michael, just does technology play a part in modern organizations, modern service organizations, taking it from what we were into the modern way of doing things? Is technology a big factor?
It is a huge factor. And what the impact it's having is this. If you think about the word community, for a lot of us in the older generations, when we heard the word community, we would think of a physical location. So you would think of your town or your neighborhood, whatnot. And a lot of service organizations reflect that, you know, the Lions Club of Jamestown. When you talk about our emerging generations, when they hear the word community, they think of people that they have an affinity for. So you think about it, well, the Jewish community, there's the gay community, the arts community. You see this built around a lot of sports teams, athletic teams. Now they are becoming very tribal in that sense where, you know, you, not only do you root for the team, but you wear all the gear and you get involved in the activities. So in many ways, community is devolving into a sense of tribal affiliations. That is huge.
But in fact, you're not
want to feel like they're with like Bendon. So
you know the people within an organization like ours. Everybody knows your name, but in the community that you're talking about, you know the name, but you don't know the personality behind it. It's a connection. And does it go further than
correct.
That?
Correct. That's correct. I think there's a sense of that you don't know, you know, they connect with each other online in affinity. Groups, and they may connect face to face within a physical location, but you're right. They see themselves as part of a global type of tribe because of their affinity rather than thinking about their neighbor next door or the town that they live in. And that's what technology has allowed them to do.
We're going to take a break and we'll come back in a few minutes and carry on the conversation.
Relevant and up-to-date, keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
We're back with Michael Brand and Lawrence Barris. Just before we carry on with the conversation, if you want to send a WhatsApp to the station, it's 061-895-1019. Or if you want to SMS, the number is 34519. We'd like to hear from you. Michael, just continuing that thought. So how does an organization embrace this technology into an organization that really has a history of and a tradition of being a face-to-face type of organization? How do we make the change?
You know, I always encourage people to think this way, that for people of my generation, the baby boomer, what we call the baby boomer generation, that if I sat down and tried to plan how to make this change, what I would do was come up with a plan that reflects pretty much my history, what I know, because it's worked for me for two or three decades. The real challenge is for an organization to open itself up to the possibility of change, bringing in that next generation and letting them change the organization. Doing so that the gift that you pass on is, you know, your values, your history along that, but you've got to allow the next generation to recreate it or rethink it in a way that works for them. So the hardest part is encouraging your present leadership to the possibility of letting go of the status quo.
So
that's hard.
The Hebrew Order of David has a history of 115 years and growing, and we are also growing and expanding into areas like the United States. We've grown lodges, and we are growing, particularly in the United States and or North America, I'd say, including Canada. And that seems to be working, but of course, it's a certain age group and a certain dynamic, and we'd like to effect change, and we'd like to be more inclusive so that we build a succession plan, because, you know, in years to come, we're going to need that. Otherwise, we also have facing issues way down the line. Lawrence, what do you feel?
Michael, are you aware that in Rotary there are some e-clubs? Have you heard of that before?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm familiar. Okay.
Which is very, very foreign to me at my age of 60, but it's just incredible that one can connect and literally attend a meeting on the internet, literally. I see HOD's strength, again, coming from the roots of the Jewish connection, and I think that bodes well for us. Creating the lodge in Dallas, which is where the idea came to create the lodge in Houston, wasn't very difficult. It was a matter of explaining what the lodge was designed to accomplish. And I can count on one hand the number of folks that we've wanted to introduce to HOD that have not actively participated. Yes, we've had literally maybe two or three people withdraw from the lodge after joining the lodge, very far and few between, and we're well over 100 members here today, and very active, very together, and very much, I believe that there's great enjoyment and fulfillment for the work that we do.
I mean, that has been really the backbone of the Hebrew Order of David, is our ability to interact with each other, to be friends, to rely on each other. We call each other brother, and I mean, in a sense, we're one big family. So although we are now spread around the world, a lot of us know each other, and we connect with each other on different levels. And I think that is a big factor in the organization. But I do think that as an organization, we should be looking down the road to embracing the new technology, because it's there. I mean, why not use it? I think to some extent we are, but is it sufficient?
We do. In Houston, we've got a very active WhatsApp group, and we've actually got three separate groups, depending on the level of importance of the message, between management only and then our general communications. And the responses to a request on this are actually quite stunning. It's just awesome. We get something out there, and again, it's using the technology. And it's very unintrusive of one's time, and we just use it very successfully for all communications.
So I would add to that, Lawrence, like, how did you incorporate? What was the process of incorporating that technology into your organization? Who did it?
It was done by one of our members. Paul Weinstein set up the group. An ex-past president of ours, very active, great guy, and it's been embraced. There was a time when the general membership felt there was excessive use of this, wishing each other Shabbat Shalom, that kind of thing. So we cut that back, and we created from the general communication group, we created another group which allowed for those kind of relaxed communications, and then there's a third group which is just for management and executive only. And everybody's very happy with that, and it's a wonderfully accepted method of communication, and very beneficial to us to make changes on the fly. You know, if something happens, very often used, God forbid, we've had to attend funerals over here to make a minion. You can count the reaction within minutes. I can talk about the reaction that we had over here with Hurricane Harvey, which I'm sure everybody knows about. Just awesome ability to use that communication.
Yeah, we want to talk about that in a little on the show. Michael, you said at the end of your statement that why are service organizations failing, and the remedy to fix them. You don't subscribe to the thing that it's a 1 minute event. This is a process. I mean, it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Correct. Because it's reflecting a long-term change in society, so that, you know, many of our organizations are only maybe at the max 100, 110, 120 years old. So it's not like we have centuries of history. They evolved in response to changing circumstances in society.
Yes.
It really were, you know, most of these service clubs are really kind of built around business networking with a little social impact on the side. And so now we're 100 years later and society is drastically changing again. We don't know what the future society is going to look like. Like, we're right in the middle of it now. So the key thing, or the key to survival, is going to be to open up, be more flexible. And once again, that phrase about allowing the next generation to come in and change us to their needs. So for example, I mean, Judaism, we have this enormous tradition and history to pass along, but it's up to the next generation to take that tradition and those teachings, and how are they going to organize themselves to support in those traditions? That's the key. It's gonna have to work for them, but they're the ones that are gonna have to design it so it works for them.
Okay. I'm gonna move on to another topic in a few minutes, but Michael, before I say goodbye to you and really thank you for coming on the show and giving us your views. Lawrence, I'm hoping you'll stay on and talk about Lodge Galil. But Michael, could you just give us a bit of background, a bit of a punt for yourself as to what you do and, you know, how you come to all of this?
Oh, great. Yeah, I have over 3 decades in the nonprofit sector, and I've run organizations. I've raised millions of dollars. I've worked in foundations, so I've given away millions of dollars. I've managed million-dollar budgets. So there's probably no role within a nonprofit organization that I haven't served in, all the way from board president to volunteer. And right now the work that I'm doing is on a reinvention of our local chamber of commerce, because chambers of commerce are member associations, and that is changing as well. So used to be an organization developed to promote local connection and tourism. That's going away. So I'm working with our board right now to, what is the chamber of the 21st century? How do we reinvent this organization to draw in that next generation of entrepreneurs and business owners? And it goes along the same practical line. We using the same philosophy, that we've got to find a way to bring them in and then let them recreate us.
Just give us an address where one can reach you, a website.
Yes. Yes. Well, you can go to my website, which is michaelbrand.org. It has all my contact information, has some resources there, a number of articles and essays, the one that you read that led you to reach out to me. It's an easy way to get in contact with me.
Great, and really thank you for coming on and spending your time. And we're all working together in the nonprofit space, which is tough, as everybody knows, but it's rewarding, so that's why we carry on doing it. I guess the warm, fuzzy feeling is what we're after.
Well, and we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference in the world.
Right.
So thank you for asking me. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers. Bye. Lawrence.
Yo.
So let's have a little chat about the lodge in Houston. Give us a bit of the history and how you came about, your history, your background, and so on. So, and we start the conversation there.
Sure. Thanks, Stan. I happened to be in Dallas at our kids and grandkids' home for a weekend, and went to the Chabad Shul in North Dallas, and was kind of surprised to see the Shabbat there being pretty much devoted to the creation of a lodge in Dallas. Of the three people that were there, Stan, you were one of them.
Yeah.
Together with,
Alan Rubenstein.
And Rubenstein and Kreitzik and,
David.
So it, you know, I sat down and, some of these folks originated from Port Elizabeth, which is where I'm originally from. And, we discussed the fact that, first of all, there's intense competition between Houston and Dallas. Just because we're sister cities, and the thought came to mind that Dallas couldn't have something that Houston didn't have. So we discussed getting going in Houston, and a few months later, in late 2015, we consecrated in Houston, and I want to make it quite clear, while I might have been the initial very tiny seed involved in this, there was a great group of guys that helped us tremendously. To get started over here from Atlanta. The guys flew down from Atlanta a couple of times for our initial coffee meetings. Started off, I believe, with our consecration of about, I don't know, wasn't about 30 members. And we've grown to well over 100 since then. A percentage of, expat South African membership is somewhere just above 30%. We have found that the American connotation or understanding of fraternity is incredible, and I probably have reason to believe it's better than what we knew in South Africa because of the college fraternities that exist around the country here.
Absolutely.
We are very active over here. I'll go to those activities if you'd like in a little while.
Please, yes.
Sure. The lodge has grown, as I said, incrementally. We, of course, our leadership stayed on for 2 years because of Hurricane Harvey, which was a massive event in our city. And, in fact, our place of meeting at the, United Orthodox Shul was, decimated by the flood. So for a good few months, we actually just ended up having Chavashav meetings at various homes. And stayed together, helped each other. If I had a way of showing you the WhatsApp communications, literally on the day of and the days after Harvey, it is quite astounding what happened. Ranging from guys fixing air conditioning, transporting wood, transporting things that had to be purchased from a Home Depot type store, and needing transportation to get something large home. Just incredible what happened with that. We had one of our members who's in the men's clothing business, contact his vendors, and at a kosher restaurant on a Sunday morning, we set up shop over there and gave away well over $100,000 worth of clothing to needy people that had lost up to everything in Harvey. Just awesome, awesome responses. Would you like me to go on to some of the activities that we've done?
Yes,
here,
no,
Stan?
I think it's good to let people know. Just to, as a background, the lodges in the Hebrew Order of David work within their community. So Dallas, Houston, San Diego, etc., where they have lodges. In South Africa would be in Johannesburg, Sandton, Benoni, etc., and Port Elizabeth still operating, you'll be pleased to know. And, they work within those communities. So it's a local organization belonging to a bigger organization, the umbrella organization being the Hebrew Order of David International. But the lodges in the United States and Canada report to the governing lodge of North America. And, Lodge Galil, the lodge in Houston, is one of those lodges. So please give us.
From a fundraising perspective, every member knows going into joining us that we do a fundraiser annually. For the second time now, we are doing an award of $10,000 towards the Federation, the Jewish Federation trip to Israel, which is done 1 year by Dallas, 1 year by Houston. We only sell a maximum of 613 tickets. Not coincidentally related to the seeds in the pomegranate, but something to do with the Torah. We raised between I guess it'll be upwards of $12,000. We've donated the most recent event. We donated $6,000 to the Houston Free Loan Association, and the other $6,000 went to the Houston Friendship Circle, which is for handicapped Jewish people, where they are put to work and produce certain items. The rabbi that runs that program, Rabbi Zali Lazarus, is a member of our lodge, and we were very proud to help them with that. This year, the money will be going to the, I believe, Hebrew Free Loan Association again, and the other half is going to Zichron Menachem, which is an effort in Israel that we are very near and dear to our heart.
Right.
From a local perspective, and not necessarily all philanthropic, we participate in the Chili Cook-Off over here, which is an annual event. Jewish organizations of all sorts create a team and go and create chili. We know that ours has always been the best, but there's some sort of undercurrent that some other people have won prizes.
A third force.
We go to Goldberg Towers, which is an elderly care facility, December, Hanukkah time, and go there with sufganiyot and dreidels, and some kids come along and played guitars and piano, sing along and that kind of thing. Do the same thing at Seven Acres, where we arrange bingo, and we're also there writing the Chanukiah recently. We have gone to the Veterans Cemetery here in Houston, which of note is that it's the second biggest veterans cemetery in the country outside of Washington, D.C., and we place flags for Memorial Day at the graves of the fallen soldiers. And this is done by many other organizations. There are just many hundreds of thousands of graves to deal with, unfortunately, and so we participate in that. Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, very active with that. Obviously, it's information fed to us via the brotherhood or friends and family, because there are very strict laws over here regarding confidentiality of being in hospital. So it's become very difficult to find out who's there, but when we are able to find out, and we do, we take a package to these people and visit with them, and of course wish them refuah shlema. That's a good sampling of the kind of things we do.
Very interesting topics and very interesting work. I know you have a lot of fun. You have had some Chavashaft type events, and we have read about them. Just a little bit about Lawrence, for those people, about the Barris family. They're Port Elizabeth. There's a street named after them. Am I correct? Len Barris Walk, is that it?
No, it's called Barris Walk.
Barris Walk.
Street in front of the Shulin
sure.
P.E.
Yes.
And it's actually from my great-grandfather, Connie Barris, who was also a member of HOD in South Africa, and the council honored him in those days with that name.
Right, and Lawrence himself was recently raised to what we call the third degree, which is worthy brother status for his work in previous work, and also putting together and being the driving force behind Lodge Galil in Houston, in Texas, and is one of the leading members in that community and leading members in the organization. And really want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show. And I don't know if you want to add anything before we take a break.
Not at all. I just basically want to thank you for all the wonderful work that you do, worthy Brother Stan. And I can tell you that the Lodge Galil here in Houston is very near and dear to many people's hearts. I believe it's
Absolutely.
In very safe hands. And I think that we look forward to growth and good things. And dare I say, start looking at potentially a second lodge in the not too distant future.
Just to give myself a personal punt, I was the grand president that was responsible for carrying out the consecration of Lodge Galil in the United States, and I'm very proud of that.
We were very proud to have you here, Stan.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to say goodbye to you, and thank you, and well, and wish your family well. And we'll be talking.
Thank you very much. Good luck and chazak ve'ematz.
And to you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And we are back. And my name is Stan Claff from the Hebrew Order of David International. I'm the Grand Secretary of the organization, which is an worldwide organization with lodges in the United States, Canada, Israel, United Kingdom, and South Africa. And we were privileged earlier to have Michael Brand, an executive director of the Oregon City Chamber of Commerce, talking about how service organizations can change to reflect modern times and also to attract younger people to come and work with them and partner with them going forward into the future. And it's something which we and the Hebrew Order of David embrace and really hold out a lot of hope for the youth of our country in South Africa and also the other countries around the world. We do good work. All lodges do good work. And we were privileged to have again, Lawrence Barris from Lodge Galil in Houston in Texas. And, that lodge is doing great work within their community. It's a young lodge. But they're a force to be reckoned with, fastest growing lodge. They also were awarded the lodge for the biggest growth at the last conference of the Hebrew Order of David, which is held every 2 years. And last year it was held in the United States. This year it will be held in South Africa and then going around in rotation through the United Kingdom and so on every 2 years. So we expect a delegation to come from the United States to visit us and to be part of that conference, which takes place, as I said, every 2 years, the Hebrew Order of David at the HOD Center in Orchards in Johannesburg. The Hebrew Order of David is currently doing quite a number of projects, and right now top of our list of projects, which is a very interesting topic. We are hosting Ruth Meyer. If you remember, he worked with the President Cyril Ramaphosa to end apartheid and bring in democracy with the writing of the constitution, and it's going down the line, finally culminating in the change of government. So he's going to be talking on 25 years into democracy. This takes place on the 19th of February. The cost is 80 Rand. You can call the HOD Center, which is 640-3017, or you can send an email to admin@hodavid.org if you want to book. You don't have to book. You can come to the door, but of course, it is filling up and space. You may want to make sure that you get a seat, early in the process. There's another almost 3 weeks to go from today. We also have, honor the elderly in our community. We have an organization called The Royals, where we entertain elderly folk who come to a morning where we give them tea. We give them some entertainment, and we have that 3 times a year. And this year it's the 16th of May, the 15th of August, and the 14th of November. And again, if you would like to attend, you'll probably hear it through the homes, but, and elsewhere. But if you haven't heard of how to get in touch with us, the way to do that is to again call the HOD Center 011-640-3017, and we'll definitely include you. In November this year, we're having, on the 6th of November, we have a bingo evening, which is our annual fundraiser for Lodge Negev. And we usually help the Kosher Mobile Meals, and to raise money. And it's important because, as one knows, the needs in this community for assistance is growing daily and times are tough. So please support us. And particularly if you can support help us to support other organizations. We have had a item on this show, which we call the wish list, and we are starting to get requests from various organizations. And right now we have an organization which is in education, which is bridging the gap between school and university, helping students to ready themselves, not to go straight from school, but to have a bit more insight and education and affiliate and affirmation as to how they are going to, what they're going to face at the university level. One of the things that they need is cell phones, mobile phones, because a lot of their work is done by communication. These are people in underprivileged societies, and one would hope that the organization, I mean the community in South Africa, would assist us by doing that. If you would like to deliver, please, as again, contact the HRD. Next week we're going to be asking Pearl Greenberg. She's the head of this project, and she will come on the show and give a bit more of an explanation into what we're going to, what they do and how they do it and what you can do to assist. So that was the first of the wish list. We do have others coming along, and we will be airing them from time to time. The Hebrew Order of David also is a home for the Genealogical Society of South Africa and also to the Yiddish Society. The Genealogical Society holds monthly meetings, and we'll be announcing the first of the meetings coming up in February and going on from there. And it's usually a very interesting topic, something to do with genealogy. But if you would like to know more about genealogy, this is the, this is where you can go, and you can send an email to jgssa1616@gmail.com. jgssa16@gmail.com, and you can, we'll send you information about the Genealogical Society. If there's anybody that would like to contact us for any other projects on the wish list, please come forward and let us know. And as I said, I gave you the number earlier. The last item is we are running a project which will take place over the next months, and that is a project called A Day in the Life of a Jew in South Africa. And it's a very simple project. You have a cell phone, or you have a device where you can take a photograph, which is the best way would be a cell phone. You take a picture, you send it into admin@hrdavid.org, and we will collate these, and there's 25,000 rand worth of prizes for the winners. And hopefully, if all things being equal and really work well, we hope to publish a book with these pictures. It doesn't matter what the picture is of, as long as it's Jewish and has a Jewish feel and Jewish connotation. And we would like to see the pictures, and we also will be having a website in the coming weeks where we will be flighting these pictures from time to time and showing you what the society is about. Doesn't matter where it comes from. It's the easiest thing. Technology is available, and all you have to do is take the picture, and cell phones today can take some magnificent pictures, but there's a kicker. You need to send some words. Don't send 1,000 words. Just send a few words describing what the, what it is in your own words. And that will be published. If we do publish the book and those that are chosen, we'll publish it in due course. Thank you for being with us tonight. This is the Hebrew Order of David Hour. The phone number for the Hebrew Order of David is 011-640-3017. Our email address is admin@hrdavid.org. And I wish you good evening, and I wish you a good Shabbos.